Blog Talk Radio.
Keep us from falling into base and petty ways, from from getting lost in earthly experiences which do not last, Lord, no matter how much they demand our attention, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done for your children, Lord. Continue to help us, Lord, that we may serve you every day in gladness and gratitude, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, let's get into the praise and worship part of the service. Here we go.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
service. I have a caller. I rarely, rarely ever get a caller on Sundays. Okay? I'm going to take it and see who it is. They've been here since the beginning of the show. And then we'll get into the sermon. Hello. Hello, caller. Who do I have on the line?
This is Woody from the Moon. Just called in. Just like your show.
Okay.
Like your show. This is Woody from the Moon. Just
called in. Willie? How you doing, Willie?
I'm doing good. I just like your show. Like the praise and worship. Really good. I thank you. And I like your show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it there, Willie. Okay, I hope you keep listening. I got a sermon that's
Cody.
Next. And I hope you listen. And be.
I will. I love your show.
Okay, thank you. Alrighty. Alrighty. Well, let's get into the sermon. It's called The Prosperity Gospel, and this is a series of fake news, okay? And it's from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let's go with an opening prayer for our service. Lord our God, our souls long for you and for your glory, for the day when it shall be said, all is accomplished. Now your kingdom comes, now your day appears, Lord. When we look back at all that has happened to us, Lord, everything becomes clear, Lord. We thank you that we can live without fear again, Lord, and again, refreshed and renewed, Lord, waiting for the good you give on earth, Lord. Show us the way we must go, Lord. Grant your blessing in our hearts so that the need and death and fear and distress may always have light and strength, Lord. You are our salvation, Lord our God. From you comes the salvation of our souls. Okay, we trust you today and every day, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me start this out. There was a story about a soldier who was in the midst of battle. Bullets were flying, bombs exploding all around him. And he's digging a foxhole for all he's worth. Suddenly, as he's digging, he feels something metal and he grabs it. It's a silver cross. Just then, another shell explodes nearby and he buries his head in his arms. He feels someone jump in the foxhole beside him and he looks over and sees an army chaplain. The soldier looks at the cross and looks at the chaplain. He hands the cross over to the chaplain and says, "I'm sure glad to see you. How do you get this thing to work?" For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about fake news. We're not going to be discussing political fake news. That might be spread by certain folks in the media. That's not what we're here for. Instead, we're going to talk about spiritual fake news, spread by false teachers and charlatans. Satan uses that fake news called false teachings to get us sidetracked in our faith. Now, how will we know if something is fake news? What source could we look to check out whether or not someone is lying to us? That's right. We look to the Bible. It's the only reliable source of truth that we have. And if we don't know the Bible as well as we should, we become easy prey for false teachers who would spread fake news. This evening, we're going to talk about something called prosperity gospel. It goes by other names like the Word of Faith movement and the Seed of Faith movement. A common phrase these folks often use is name it and claim it. And that statement, name it and claim it, is a code for idea that if you verbally want a specific blessing from God, all you need to do is verbally declare the blessing and claim it, and it will be yours. One man put it this way: as part of God's class, as world faith teachers say, I have absolute authority to create my own world through positive thinking and faith-based confession. Faith-based confession is another way to say name it and claim it. The reason this type of spiritual fake news is called the prosperity gospel is because the promise of prosperity from God is at the core of much of your teaching, much of their teaching. Okay? You want to have money. Basically, you just name it and claim it, and you got it. Creflo Dollar, our leading preacher in this movement, taught some people come to me and say, well, I came here to get some peace, not money, and I tell them you need money, otherwise you ain't gonna get no peace. Some people say it's about peace, joy, and love. No, it's about money. God is trying to put material wealth in your hands. In an interview with a publication called The Christian Post, Joel Osteen said, I believe God wants you to prosper in your health, in your family, in your relationship, in your business, and your career. So if that is prosperity gospel, then I do believe that. If you are struggling financially, then you have not got the victory. God didn't create you to be an average or poor. Now, that sounds pretty good to me. Where do I sign up? Exactly how can I become healthy, wealthy, and wise? Kenneth Hagin taught the Holy Spirit would make you rich, healthy, and anointed with spiritual gifts if you would just have enough faith to name it and claim it. Joel Osteen stated, if you want success, if you want wisdom, if you want to be prosperous and healthy, you're going to have to do more than meditate and believe. You must boldly declare words of faith and victory over yourself and your family. The term words of faith is another code phrase for name it and claim it. Creflo Dollar declared, when we pray believing that we have already received what we are praying, God has no choice but to make our prayers come to pass. It is a key to getting results as a Christian. God has no choice. Seriously? Sounds like I've become the master and God has become a slave. This is heresy, false teaching, and a lie from the pit of hell. Can I put any clearer about my distaste for this teaching? This teaching is so pervasive that a common tactic for many of these preachers is the seed money appeal letter. They'll send you letters to people saying that God wants to bless them if you'll send them a donation called seed money. You are promised that God will reward you financially in proportion to the size of your seed. The more you give, the more you get. One man told receiving one such letter, the letter said that God would reward him 100 times over for any money he'd send to the ministry. He declared if he would give $10, God would bless him with $1,000. If he gave $1,000, God would bless him with $100,000. Immediately the man sat down and wrote the preacher this letter. I will fully understand and believe in what you're saying, but I believe that if I sent you this money, I would be robbing you of the blessing if I send you the money. All you receive is my paltry $10 or $20, and I believe that God wants to reward your ministry to a more powerful way. Therefore, if you'll send a donation to me, I believe God will bless you 100 times over. Enclosed, you will find a stamped self-addressed envelope. If you send me $10, you will receive from God $1,000. If you send me $1,000, God will give you $100,000. It's called a hoax, folks. Don't encourage these guys. Now, as I was working on the sermon, I struggled with the idea because I believe in a mighty God who can do mighty things. I believe that when we pray, if God wants to make us rich, he'll make us rich. If he wants to heal us, he'll heal us. If he wants to make us important, he'll make us important. The problem with the prosperity gospel, the word of faith movement, and the name it and claim it theology is that it warps the teaching of God. It's like the soldier in the foxhole wanting to use the cross like a magic wand. This teaching tries to turn faith into magical incantation. If you have to do so, do is say the word faith and presto change to alakazam, God pops out like a genie from a lamp willing to grant you three wishes. That's not how it works, folks. Our text today says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. In James verse 1, verse 2, some of the best Christians are going to suffer. Some of the most faithful brothers and sisters in Christ are going to go through trials and tribulations and persecution. Peter said, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as through something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Jesus said, Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. So that they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. One of the stories I read told a couple who lost their two children sometime shortly after birth. The husband wrote in, 2003, my wife and I lost our first child. Trouble soon for me and was an equally word of faith filled wife. How could God let the devil overrun us like this? While meeting church people suggested our calamity may be due to sin in our lives or due to a curse, or as I firmly believe, to a lack of faith. My grieving wife and I spent months repenting of possible hidden sin. We also sought answers from our families in case of generational curse, a dominant teaching in the Word of Faith movement. So too often in these prosperity gospel churches, folks are taught to believe that poverty or suffering of any kind is caused by a lack of faith. It is their fault that they are poor or struggling. So why do people flock to these false teachers? What could cause folk to follow a teaching and blame them for all their own difficulties? Well, these preachers promise their followers that God wants to make them healthy, wealthy, and wise, and all you have to do is follow their advice, send in your seed money, and it's all yours. That's a highly motivating promise. One person put it this way, Lord, give me the strength to change the things I can and the grace to accept the things I cannot and a great big bag of money. Now, granted, God's people are often wealthier and healthier and wiser than others around them. That's just what happens when you live your life obeying a God. It has nothing to do with saying a word of faith or naming it or claiming it. It has everything to do with being loyal to God. One of my favorite verses, the eyes of the Lord run to and from throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. God is looking for someone to reward for their faithfulness. He's looking for someone like you, someone like me. He's looking for any man or woman who is willing to make him first their lives to strengthen and encourage. But when it comes to being successful in this world, that's really not our goal. How successful we are is not how God wants us to measure our standing with him. You see, the followers of the prosperity gospel have fallen into the same trap everyone seems to fall into. Remember in the Old Testament the story of Job. Job lost everything that he had, and then three friends dropped by to cheer him up. They have all decided that Job's suffering has been caused by a secret sin. One of those friends named Bildad said, if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm and without fear. That's Job chapter 11, verse 13 to 15. You see, Job's friends thought that successful people were successful because they were righteous, and righteous people deserve to be blessed by God. Therefore, righteous people don't suffer. It just can't happen. See, the disciples had the same problem. Jesus tells them that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And do you remember what the disciples asked? Well, then, who can be saved? When they asked the question, they asked because rich people were rich because God had blessed them. If the rich can't get into heaven, well, who can? You see, in the book of James, Christians were warned about that kind of thinking. If a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in the good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? That's James chapter 2, verses 2 to 5. Jesus said it this way, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Okay, that's Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. For those who preach the prosperity gospel, where is their treasure? Okay? Well, they teach that the word of faith, name it and claim it theology, brings them health, wealth, and great success. Their focus is on storing up treasures on earth and not in heaven. You know, some of the most impressive Christians who ever lived were the apostles, Paul, Peter, James, John, Matthew, and all the rest. They were great men whom God used to do great miracles. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, we're told, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you, with signs and wonders and mighty works. See, these apostles healed people, raised folk from the dead, and did all kinds of things that you and I can't do. It's hard to imagine anyone who is a greater follower of Christ. But now, tell me, do you think that Peter, James, and John rode around in an expensive chariot or lived in a huge mansion? No, I don't think so. But Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, Joseph Meyer, okay, they do stuff like that. Not that I necessarily begrudge them their great wealth, but when they try to tell me that their wealth is because they were more favored by God than the poor and the suffering of the world, I really get annoyed. Do you think life was easy for the apostles? Do you think they made a lot of money? Money selling lots of books and DVDs about the teaching? No, I don't think so. The books and letters they wrote were paid for with their blood and martyrdom. Did you realize that with the exception of John, every one of them died as martyrs for Christ? Paul was in prison and ultimately beheaded for his faith. Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to die in the same way Jesus did. Thomas was run up with a spear. Okay, James was beaten, stoned, and then clubbed to death. And it goes on and on and on. But prosperity preachers will really tell you about that part of the scriptures. It doesn't fit their mold. It doesn't fit into our theology. But the majority of the apostles were martyrs because they believed it and it was an honor to die for the master. Okay, so let us close. Years ago, I studied Greek, and I learned something really cool about James chapter 1, verse 2. The ESV says, count it all joy when it meets trials of various kinds. But I learned that the Greek is a very different language than English, and it can be a little awkward to translate that verse literally. But in the Greek, James chapter 1, verse 2 literally says, go before all things with joy, no matter the sufferings, the trials, the persecution. Go before all things with joy, because you know the life is only for a while. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Just to tell you a little tidbit, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Fanny Crosby was a prolific songwriter. During her lifetime, she wrote more than 8,000 hymns and songs. In fact, she wrote so many hymns and she would often submit many of them to hymnal companies under a different name, because hymnal folk were like close-minded about having hymnals totally filled with songs by one writer. Among the hymns Fanny wrote were these well-known songs, To God Be the Glory, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, I Am Thine, O Lord, and Blessed Assurance. Those songs, she was blind. When she was only 6 weeks old, she had a minor eye inflammation, and a doctor who treated her was careless. As a result, she totally and permanently blind all her life. Someone wanted to ask her if she was bitter towards that doctor. She answered, if I could meet him now, I would say thank you over and over again for making me blind. She felt that her blindness was a gift from God, okay, to help her write the hymns and change so many lives. And she said that her greatest joy was going to be that when she made it to heaven, the first face she'd see would be that of Jesus. Amen. Well, let us pray. Lord our God, you want to be our God and want us to be your people. Give us the inner integrity and the power to discern and reject what does not come from the heart, so that everything may be genuine among us, Lord. And no lies and deception will creep in, and honesty and goodness will flow from our hearts to the glory of truth, Lord, to the glory of the gospel, the great hope you give us, Lord, through the gospel. Okay, guard our hearts, Lord. Protect the good that is planted in them, that it may grow and thrive and bear fruit. Amen. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So, now, let me get down to the final question. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because in a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do so. Okay? So, okay, are you tired of living the way you are, never knowing where to go, which way is up or down? Are you dazed and confused? You're wondering where your life is heading? Maybe you're depressed, or you have anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something like alcohol abuse or drug addiction, sexual immorality, gambling, or overeating, okay, or whatever. Okay, God wants to take that away, okay? But in order to do so, okay, you've got to let him in, folks. If you do not let Jesus into your life, or God into your life, how can any of that happen? How can any of that be changed? Okay, for you to live better. So I ask you, are you ready to ask God into your life? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sin. He said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I might bring glory and honor to you alone, and not to myself. So once again, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, let's play some more music here. All right.
I come to the garden alone.
Oh,
Oh! and you have to get along with me, 'cause I wanna tell you, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your bird and do the Lord and leave it there. Thank you.
as well as the praise and worship before the sermon. Okay, I hope it was. I hope the sermon and everything was a blessing to you. I hope I brought understanding and love in your hearts. Okay. I'm now going to close this out with a prayer. Lord God, light of humankind in Jesus Christ, full of joy and trust, we ask that we may have access to your almighty power, Lord. Your power against all darkness, Lord, sin, death, and bondage, Lord. May we feel close to your almighty power, Lord. Hear our weeping, Lord, for we are and remain your children, Lord, to whom you promised redemption and deliverance, Lord. Together we hold fast to this promise and stand before you, our saying, we are your children in Jesus Christ, our Savior, whom you have sent to us. So hear your children, Lord. Bless each one and bless us as one people, Lord. Allow us to serve you in the misery of our world, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, this ends our service for today. May God bless you all. Thank the callers that called in tonight, okay? And may put a blessing upon them. And everybody that's been listening in the chat room and everyone that's been listening on the link, may you put a blessing upon them as well. So I want to say good night. Okay, God bless. Okay, and have a blessed week. Bye-bye, y'all.